Well, good evening and welcome as we come to worship and as we come to gather round the table and to remember the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made that we might be able to gather in his presence. Shout with joy to God all the earth and sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on our behalf. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come and we thank you for that grace that has drawn us and sealed us to and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given to us a Saviour, not because we are worthy, but because you are gracious. Father, we confess our failings before you. We pretend to no righteousness of our own, but we come, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his beauty. Father, bless us and enable us to give to him the praise that is his due. And when we come to gather around his table, draw us even closer to one another in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have redeemed us. And you have made of us a people that bear his name, brothers and sisters, one of the other. And we thank you that our communion with Christ brings us into a communion with his people. So, gracious Father, help us to rejoice in Christ this night. But help us also to rejoice in his people. And as we seek to love him more and more, give to us the grace to love one another even as he has loved us. Father, we pray your blessing upon your word this night. We pray your blessing upon him who will bring that word to us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit may take that word and apply it to our minds and to our hearts, that in our lives something of the beauty of Christ would be seen. So, gracious Father, bless us and help us to worship you as the redeemed people of God. And Father, we ask these things in the name of him who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. And so let us praise the name of the Lord as we sing together our first hymn, hymn number 207. Hallelujah, sing to Jesus, his the scepter, his the throne.
Before we read God's word together, friends, we'll remain seated and sing our prayer for understanding, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Let's read God's word together, first of all, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 47. You'll find this on page 570 in the Pew Bible. 570, Psalm 47. The psalmist says, "Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." Thanks be to God, and we turn again to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 24 at verse 50. Luke 24 at verse 50, page 1062 in the Pew Bible. Luke's very short account of the ascension of Jesus. When Jesus had led his followers out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold upon his truth. Now we sing together. Out of sight, the Lord has gone into heaven, now his home. Told his friends before he left that they'd never be alone. Now let's pray. God our Father, we rejoice that you haven't left us alone, that the gift of your Holy Spirit has come to us, and we pray that he would be our companion as we turn our minds to your word, that he would lead us to those truths you want us to embrace anew, so that the freshness of the vision of Jesus and all that he's seeking to do would once again lead us forward in faith. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, folks, it's always nice when you get a compliment. And I received a compliment just this week. And it was because I use an old-fashioned diary. I was at the hospital making a new appointment, so I whipped out my trusty Filofax. And the nurse was really quite excited at the sight of the Filofax. She said, "Oh, it's great to see somebody that still uses an old-fashioned diary." I think that she had all these gizmos that people use these days very much in her mind. But it is good. I don't think I'll ever depart from the old-fashioned diary myself, more especially because you get so much very interesting information in an old-fashioned diary. Maybe you've got one as well that tells you when the Battle of Trafalgar took place, you know, and stuff like that. And other things that perhaps don't immediately impact upon you. I mean, looking at my old-fashioned diary, I'm told that next Wednesday is the beginning of Ramadan. Okay? And today, if we were in America or Canada or Australia, then we would be celebrating Mother's Day. Now, neither of these two things, I don't think, impact on our lives very powerfully. But it's good to be able to share these bits of information with anybody who would listen. But last Thursday, there was an entry in my old-fashioned diary which told me that that was Ascension Day. And that is something that does impact on our lives. It's not one of the major focal points of Christian belief, perhaps. It's not celebrated for as long a period as Easter or Christmas or Pentecost or any of the other great festivals of the church. But if you're following the Christian year to any degree of faithfulness, then you're going to come across Ascension Day. And this particular Sunday is known as Ascension Sunday. Now that refers, of course, to that event that took place 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, a period of time in which the risen Lord appeared to his disciples, provided them with teaching for the future, and at the end of that, he took them out to Bethany from Jerusalem, just a couple of miles. And from there, he was seen to ascend into heaven. And that is something that is of some importance to us. Even if we didn't give it a second thought last Thursday, and I have to say that there were other things in my mind at that particular moment. But it's good to have the opportunity tonight, particularly as we are coming to the Lord's table, just to give some time to meditate upon this important event in the life and in the ministry of our Lord Jesus. And maybe we could begin just by asking ourselves a question. Why does this event speak to us? Why is it of such importance to us as Christians? And the first thing that has really occurred to me as I've given some thought to this passage in the Gospel according to Luke once again, and perhaps it's not something that has occurred to me in the past, but it's this quite simple statement that Jesus led his followers out from Jerusalem to the vicinity of Bethany. That simple statement that he led them out. And there has been various disagreement as to how many of the followers were led out on that day. Whether it was just the 11 disciples who remained, or whether it was the augmented group of believers that we hear about at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. That would number something like 120. I don't think it really matters. Jesus is leading his followers out. And whenever I think of that, the image of Jesus leading a group of people, I immediately latch on to his teaching concerning himself as the Good Shepherd. He once described himself as the Good Shepherd who leads his people out. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd was always at the head of the flock in Jesus' day and in his culture. And as Jesus leads his friends out to Bethany, I'm thinking of the Good Shepherd. And this is something that we really need to remind ourselves of time and time again. The leadership that we have in our Lord Jesus, and the nature of that leadership. Not an imposing leadership, but the leadership of one who was prepared to lay down his life for his flock. Remember, that was one of the great qualities of the Good Shepherd as Jesus saw him. He was willing to put his life on the line to protect his flock from predators. And Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And that's something that is never out of season for us to remember. That's one of the drawbacks of adhering to the Christian year too vigorously. That we tend to think that some aspects of doctrine are just for certain times of the year. But it's for every day of our lives to remember that our Lord is the Good Shepherd. The one we follow is the Good Shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for us so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could walk closely with our God, so that we could be assured that we have a place in his eternal kingdom. The Son of God thought each one of us was worthy of his death. That's the nature of the God that we follow. You know, our Mark, as you know, is a media lovey down in London. And it's his mission in life to keep me up to date with what's happening on the telly and in the movies. And just lately, he let me know that my life wasn't going to be worth living unless I watched this documentary that was on Netflix. That's how up to date I am. Netflix. I hope you're taking notes here, folks. And this documentary was very powerful. It was about a character, his name was, and I'm having to read this, his name was Bhagwan Shri Ragnish, an Eastern mystic. He came from India, and he tried to establish a commune in the desert of Oregon in the USA. Tens of thousands of people flocked to this man to hear his teaching, and they actually built a city in the desert. In Oregon, where he ruled supreme. And it all came to grief, by the way. This was in the early 1980s, and I don't have a very firm memory of this in the news, although I believe that it was. It all came to grief in the end. These things always implode. But the point is, this man that led this commune, this community in the desert of Oregon, he had 20 Rolls Royces. He had a watch that was made up of diamonds, which was worth $1 million. And his followers didn't like to be displaying any kind of trinkets or gadgets to them, because the more he saw, the more he wanted. His whole life seemed to be geared towards getting. And you see, that's why we have to be thankful that we don't follow any gurus. Because our life, our Lord Jesus' life was shaped, it was molded, it was motivated by the desire to give. He gave time to people who were on the fringes of society that nobody else wanted to bother with. He gave his power to people who were sick and distressed. And in the end, he gave his life so that we might be part of his community, an eternal community that is never ever going to implode before his will for his people is worked out. And that is something that's so important for us to remember as we approach the Lord's table, as we actually take into our hands the bread and wine. Each one of us as individuals can say, this is the body of Christ broken for me. This is the blood of Christ shed for me, so that I might be forgiven, so that I might be renewed, so that I might have a place in his eternal kingdom. Jesus led them out as the good shepherd who had laid down his life for his sheep. And he blessed them on that day of his ascension. Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed those who followed him. And even as he was being taken up to heaven, his hands were still upraised in blessing. And that was the last sight that his people had of him. Now I wonder, you know, I'm quite sure that we've all at one time said, God bless you. I'm quite sure that quite often it has tripped off our tongues without us thinking very much about it. I wonder exactly what it means when we pray God's blessing on other people. Well, from my perspective, if ever I was to say that to somebody, what I would be hoping would be that in this person's life, as they stand before me, as they're on the other end of the telephone, I would be hoping and praying that God's promises would be fulfilled in this person's life. May God bless you with everything that He has to offer you. That would be the prayer. So that if you, in any sense, have a feeling of failure in your life, that you would know that forgiveness is possible. And if, for any reason, due to challenges you're facing in your life, you're thinking that you're coming to the end of all your resources, may God assure you that His strength can carry you through this experience. And if for any reason you feel that the purpose has departed from life, remember that God's great purpose for you is that you be shaped and molded according to the pattern of Jesus' life. And if the final challenge of death is causing you to feel fragile in any way, remember that He has promised you a place in His eternal kingdom. Now, if I'm asking God to bless you, I'm hoping and praying that all of that is downloaded into your life. And the last sight, remember, that the followers of Jesus had of Him was ascending with His arms upraised as a sign that He will continue to bless them. This wasn't just a one-off. God bless you all. Now I'm off. The hands upraised as He ascends is a sign that these blessings will continue to flow into their lives. And that's something that we need to grasp as God's people gather tonight and approaching the Lord's table, because as we take the bread and wine into our hands, we can be absolutely sure that everything that I've been talking about, forgiveness, strength, God's purpose for our lives, an eternal kingdom, all of that is as real as the bread and wine that we touch and taste. And as we take it into ourselves, the bread and wine, we can be sure that these promises are taking root in our lives and waiting their full flowering. And it doesn't just last for this moment at the Lord's table. This is something that we can remember day after day, that these blessings are coming to us as real as the bread and wine that we've touched and tasted in the Lord's Supper. But if I can maybe throw out something that maybe sounds a wee bit strange, even more real are these promises than the bread and wine, because they are eternal. They will never be wasted, eroded in any way. We can taste and see that the Lord is good because of all these things that have been arrayed before us. Jesus led them out and He blessed them, and then He was taken up. Why are all these things? The question was, why are all these things significant to us? Why are they speaking to us? Well, when Jesus was taken up, He was taken up to a place that the Apostle Luke refers to as heaven. He was taken up to heaven. And I don't know about you, but we all have our ideas about heaven, and quite often, to be frank, we sentimentalize heaven, don't we? We trivialize it, even. You know, it becomes something that we shape and mold according to our own predilections. And it has to be said that if we're talking about heaven, then it is difficult for us to imagine, just because of the limitations that are on our imagination. I remember some years ago, it's funny, isn't it, how some things just stick in your mind after a long time. But I suppose this is another documentary I'm talking about, and I suppose it was quite groundbreaking in its day. It came out, I think, in the early 1980s. And it was about a Scottish actor whose name was Victor Caron. And he was just beginning to make an impact in the acting world. And then he was stricken with cancer. And this particular program showed the final days of his life right up to his funeral. And when he was being interviewed, and at one particular point, he said that he didn't believe in God and he had no concept of heaven at all, because he said it's difficult to imagine a life that is better than the one that we're now living. It's difficult to imagine a life that is better than the one that we're living. Now, I would agree with that. It's difficult to imagine, but that doesn't mean to say that it doesn't exist. And there are assurances for us, there are promises for us, that there is a heaven, and that the whole of human history is heading towards that time when the whole of human existence will be heaven. I always like to think of it like this, that there is coming a time when, in a sense, the earthly existence that we have now will give way to heaven. In the same way that the chrysalis gives way to the butterfly. In the same way that the cocoon gives way to something that's stronger and better. This earthly existence that we live now will give way to the eternal kingdom of God. Remember how Paul talks about it. He talks about our existence now being like labor pains. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's horrible. But at the end, there will be the new creation. There will be the eternal kingdom of God. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation saw it as the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven and being rooted on the earth. And at that moment, we can sing with conviction that heaven's morning has broken and earth's vain shadows have flown. That's at the point where Jesus himself will return to the earth. Not this time as the tiny baby in a small town in a small country, but as the Lord of the universe. And that is something of which we are reminded whenever we come to the Lord's table. We proclaim his death, says the Apostle Paul, in the Lord's Supper till he comes. This is one way of telling the story of Jesus, till he comes again to set up his eternal kingdom. You know, some have said that life is made up of joyful meetings and sad partings. But having received the ministry of the risen Lord on that particular day, and having seen his ascension into heaven, we're told that the followers of Jesus worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed, continually at the temple praising God. Now this was a joyful parting. It was a joyful parting because of everything that had been given to them by the Lord. They knew that there was great work before them. Excuse me. They were commissioned to tell the story of Jesus and to share his love through all the nations of the world. But they knew that they weren't going to be alone. They had been promised what Jesus described as the power from on high, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit, through his ministry, Jesus would continue to lead them. He would continue to bless them as they told his story and as they showed his values in a world that so badly was in need. And that same power is with us, friends. No matter how difficult things might be for us at times, no matter our discouragements, as far as I know, the Holy Spirit has not been taken away from the church. And we can go forward with that same spirit of joy for all that we've been given. For the challenge of the work that's before us and the promise that we are never alone as we seek to work out our mission. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for everything that you seek to teach us in your word. And we pray that as now we come to the Lord's table, that the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done for us would impact freshly upon our hearts, and that we would feel a refreshment and a revival within ourselves as we seek to be faithful in our time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now friends, as we approach the Lord's table, you'll see that there is a new hymn there, which I would like us to try out tonight. Now, Eleanor is going to play the first verse fully, and then we'll stand together to sing it. And it's long enough for us to get the hang of it before the end of the hymn. But I think you'll agree with myself and Eleanor and Derek, I have to say, that it's well worth the learning, this hymn, one of the Getty Townend hymns. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. Let's hear the verse and then let's sing it together. The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Friends, as we approach the Lord's table, we always remind ourselves how the sacrament began. And we do this in the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul, who was seeking to mend fractures that had appeared in the Christian community in Corinth, and was seeking to bind together Christian people around the great truths of Jesus and all that he sought to do in his life, in his ministry, in his death and resurrection. Unity was very much in the forefront of Paul's thought as he wrote that letter. And I'm reminded of a very lovely image that the great reformer John Calvin had of the Lord's Supper. Calvin used to say that we had to imagine, as we shared the bread and wine, that our hearts were united together as the people of God, that the Holy Spirit was binding us together and lifting us in that united state to be bonded with the heart of the risen and ascended Jesus. That was very much his thought, that we are taken, in a sense, from ourselves and bonded in the heart of the risen and ascended Lord. And the Scottish reformers, particularly Knox, when he was seeking to hold together the movement for reform, emphasized that aspect of the Lord's Supper. And so we can imagine the passion behind Paul's words and his motivation as he wrote to the church at Corinth and said to them, I have received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And Paul says, every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we now do as Jesus has commanded us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take this bread and wine to be set apart from ordinary use so that it can be used in this sacred meal. And in the same way that Jesus gave thanks, let us now draw near to our Heavenly Father and offer our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray. God our Father, we rejoice tonight to be in the presence of our risen Lord. We thank you that he is our leader. We thank you that he is continually blessing us. We thank you that he has promised us a place in his eternal kingdom. And we ask that as we share the bread and wine tonight, that the vision of all that he has done for us and the vision of all that he has provided for us would be renewed within us, so that our love for him would grow and our commitment to his kingdom would be stronger. We ask, O Lord, that you would take our hearts tonight to bind them together, to elevate them to that place where Jesus is, so that we might know the glory of communion with him. And enable us, Lord, day by day in our lives to know that this is a reality. Even when we're going through those days of difficulty, days of pain, days of discouragement, days of doubt, help us to remember the upraised hands and the blessings of Jesus being poured out upon our lives. We pray, O Lord, that tonight would be a time of renewal for us all, according to your will, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We share this bread and this wine because Jesus has commanded us to do so. On the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God our Father, we rejoice that on this Lord's Day we have been fed with spiritual food. And we pray that this would be our refreshment, our revival, our encouragement as we go forward seeking to be your faithful people. We pray that you would enable us by your grace to respond to every opportunity for service, to make known your truth, to make known your love, that more men and women might be gathered into that company that is blessed by the risen and ascended Lord. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Let's sing together now, friends. Most glorious Lord, you have gone up to take your place on high. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.